Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Final Fantasy IX is over, and maybe you thought the podcast was too, but we didn't forget about you. We are back after a couple of weeks away here on post-show recaps covering Final Fantasy IX. I am your host, Brooklyn Zed, here with my co-host going on this journey for the first time, Adam H. Adam, how's it going?
It's going good, Zed. Do people out there actually think that the podcast was done forever? Did people, I mean, were there murmurings on the streets of this podcast is over mid-game? We didn't, not even at the end of a game. We're just, you think we're just leaving you mid when there's more Steiner to be had? We're just leaving you?
I don't think people actually thought that, but we did accidentally take a little bit of an unannounced hiatus.
Okay, well, you know
for
what?
A couple
you
of
know
weeks, what? But we're Wait. Here. We're here.
to speak to the hiatus of it all, I don't know if people actually care about this, but whatever. It's our pod. We can do whatever we want here, really. As of the new year, I had to go back into the office at work 3 days a week, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I'm in there 3 days a week. We normally record this on Friday, and it's not that I play the game during. I want it to be very clear to any hypothetical employer listening to this. I do not play the game nor record this podcast during working hours. Okay. That is not something that happens. However, there is extra time and mental energy spent going to and from the office and sitting in the office all day that when I get back, it is much harder to justify like spending the time either, you know, playing a game or recording a podcast or whatever after I've had a very long, annoying, day of work. And it's like, okay, should I be, you know, going out to dinner or making dinner for Sarah, or, you know, spending time together? So no, let's go play Final Fantasy for however many hours and try this boss fight 50 billion times. So in case you're wondering why it's taken, you know, a little bit longer, the capitalism life has changed.
I was going to say, as usual, you can blame capitalism.
Yes, as well you should. That being said, like hypothetically in the future, you know, somewhat near future here, 4 or 5 months away, we are moving away and I won't have to go back into the office at that point. So that's going to be fantastic. Who knows what that means in terms of podcasting or Final Fantasy or video games or whatever, but theoretically that is coming in the future. But as for now, you're still stuck with us. We're not done. I would certainly finish this game. Even if the podcast ended, I do think I would finish the game. And there's maybe something
That's
to be said.
That's a good endorsement.
There may be something to be said for the fact that I think that I would probably enjoy the game more if I didn't podcast about it, which is almost the opposite of how I feel about it. And it's not that I don't love this, but I really do. Like, I love having this conversation talking about it. It's just, it's so annoying while I'm playing the game to be like, and then Kuja
it's
said.
It's hard. We talked about this a little bit on the last podcast because, as I was telling you before, I went and listened to the tail end of it to remind myself where we left off in the game. And we were talking about the challenge of taking notes while playing a game in real time. And if you have to keep pausing to write stuff down, it's like hard to keep track of the flow of things. And you know, like first world problems, tiniest of violins, that this is a thing we have to complain about. But because you are playing the game physically with your hands, on a controller or a keyboard, you can't be taking notes, typing or writing while you're watching a show to podcast about, for instance. It's literally two separate activities. And so that does make it take a lot longer and make it feel a lot more disjointed. I can certainly attest to that as well. Like with Final Fantasy VII, I played it first for the podcast, which took forever. I played it a second time just on my own, right after I finished it the first time, because I was like, now I can do this better because I have problems.
Yeah, good God.
And now I've played it on stream a couple of times, and that's its own different kind of thing. So there's certainly something to be said for just playing a game on your own to enjoy it for no one but yourself, for no other reason than to play it. But that is unfortunately not quite inherently podcasting about a thing, even if you love it and even if you want to do it, just is a different experience than if you're just watching something or playing something for yourself.
Yeah, and certainly not to knock the podcast that we're currently on recording, like certainly not to knock that, because I think one of the major benefits of this has been I would never have played these games. I would never in my life have played Final Fantasy IX or any of them. And I suppose, you know, for some of them, maybe that's like a bad thing, but for at least for 9 and for 7 as well, I definitely have enjoyed it. And you know, not that I'm going to go back and play it again. I'm not like that level of whatever the word is that you want to put in that blank, but it's certainly enjoyable. And here we are theoretically almost at the end of 9. The other thing I was saying before we started here, I keep thinking, here we go, final boss fight, time to ramp it up. We're doing a series of boss fights. No, I certainly have not beaten the game yet. I don't know why every Final Fantasy game makes me feel this way, where it's like, here's this big string of boss fights at the end, followed by another string of boss fights, followed by another string of boss fights. And I guess I'm just at the first of who knows how many, but I do feel like I made significant progress since we last podcasted, and admittedly most of it has been in the past couple of days as I have like finally gotten, you know, my head above water. Going into the office is absolutely terrible. I talk about first world problems and like smallest of violins, like I get it, like there's a lot of people that would like cherish the opportunity to go into the office. Some people enjoy it. I have coworkers that absolutely love it and thrive in the office.
I mean, I would love to have a commute that was only 3 days a week. That would be half as many days as I was commuting when last I was working.
I hear you. I really do understand that I have it a lot better than a lot of other people. But I also have it a lot worse than how I had it a couple months ago. And that is like a real slap in the face.
Both things can be true.
Yeah. Used to be a pretty good situation. And also I've not gotten more work done since I've gone into the office. Like those days are certainly more productive, I guess, while I'm there, but I feel miserable. And then the other days when I'm not there, I'm like, how can I make up for the fact that I had to do work while I was in the office? Anyway. Okay. We should probably talk Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah, let us do that. Let me real quick say right up here at the top, in case we lose folks by the end of the podcast or you skip through the last couple of minutes. When I know what is happening with Rebirth coverage, I will tell you. Please stop asking me, with all due respect.
Oh my gosh.
When I know, you'll know. I promise you. I'm going to play the game. I'm going to stream the game. What the podcast coverage looks like, I do not know yet. When I know, I will tell you. But I will see you February 29th on Twitch to play Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And if you want to watch me play the demo, you can do that. It's on YouTube.
Should I watch that demo, Zed? Is that like should I be interested in that? I'm not a spoiler guy. I really don't like we know what's gonna happen more or less.
Yeah,
so like,
I don't think it's really a spoiler. The section of the game that you play through in the demo is the flashback to Nibelheim Cloud is telling them the story of being in Nibelheim with Sephiroth. When, spoiler alert, it's actually Zack who's there and Cloud is just one of the grunt soldiers in the background.
Feels like that's kind of far in terms of no.
It's not though, because he tells that story at the inn in Calm, which is the first place you go after you get out of Midgar.
Okay. I was like, man, going all the way there feels
when you go to Nibelheim is way later.
Yeah.
Not I was like, wow, they really story. So especially... it's like a confined piece. That is like outside of the rest of what you're doing. So I understand why they did it, but it's a little weird because you're playing mostly as just Cloud himself and occasionally as Sephiroth in your party. But you're not really like hanging out with your friends.
Is this gonna, can I play this on PC? Are they gonna let me play it on? No, it's still just okay. Well,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, I'm sure eventually, but they're really sticking to their PlayStation exclusivity for now.
That's tough because I just don't know the world where I'm ever buying a PlayStation, you know, like I just don't. Yeah. Like why
I would not have if PSR did not do it for me.
Yeah, I just don't, you know, I paid so much money to like build my own computer and then like totally. To have to anyway. That's why Final Fantasy IX is on the PC. That's really why. That's the benefit. I'm just saying Final Fantasy IX better than Rebirth. I don't know. The questions. I'm just saying I've heard questions being asked. I'm just asking questions. Okay.
You asked them.
I've heard it, you know, and sometimes where
I've heard it both ways as in you're the one saying it both ways.
Exactly.
All right. Let's talk about Final Fantasy IX now that we've gotten all of our woes out of the way here at the top of the podcast and get back into a game that you love and enjoy.
I do. Where we last left off here was the different earth or the different shrines. As we were going around, we were dropping people off in pairs. Now, I believe I said this last time in the podcast where I dropped everyone off and we made a lot of jokes about who's getting dropped off where, who I got stuck with, why the girls had to go off first, and we lost all our healers. We talked a lot about that. Then we got to the Earth Shrine. It was just Pia and Quinna. And I had said, this is the worst, because Quinna has not been in my party basically ever. Quinna was like level 21 at this point, and Pia was like 40. Or I don't know the exact numbers, whatever. It was a huge disparity, though. Huge disparity. And I got rocked. And unfortunately, the last time that I had saved the game before this point was before I had dropped off anyone. And if I just like hit continue or like whatever, you know, after you die, like it sends you back right in that fight. Like it'll send you back right before the fight starts. So there was this weird in between time that I would have loved to have gone back to, but did not have the opportunity to. And so what I had to do was I just had to go from the last save point and drop people off again. And then I went back and grinded a little bit to get Quinna up a couple different levels. It was very annoying. I saw some recommendations of people posting of, you know, Adam, you should go grind at this place. I honestly didn't even understand. And it certainly is not to the detriment of like what any of you were suggesting. I just didn't. I don't know. Like you said, go to this place and fight. I don't know. So I just went over by, I think it was the Desert Palace or whatever. And I just like ran around outside there. It certainly was not the most
optimizing strategy is not what you're here for or how you play these games.
No.
And that's totally fine.
Not even if I even could, like, I don't even know that I would, but I can't. So it's like, you know, listen, if you ever play like a board game with me or like a strategy game like that, I will optimize the hell out of it. I like legitimately, I my board game collection is obscene. Like it's really disgusting how much I have. Talk about like never buying a PS5. I certainly have well over a PS5's worth of value in board. Like I could buy probably 10 or 12 PS5s with all the board games that I have.
Wow.
It's, well, PS5's what, like $500? Is that right? That's like a, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah.
That is astonishing.
Board games are also wildly expensive. Like you look at a board game, it's like, oh, there's 40 or $50. Like you get 10 of those, boom. And I, you know. Okay. So I had to grind a little bit. Quinna got up. I don't know the exact, it was like 26 or 27 when I was finally like, okay, I can like make this work, because Pia was also still gaining some levels at that point as well. So it's like Pia's crazy strong. Pia and Steiner are stupid strong right now. Great. P and Quinna finally do it. It was so annoying having to do this, but there we go. After we beat, also, I didn't understand why we split up into groups, because like all of the guardians of the shrines were basically like, man, we expected all 8 of you to be here. Now there's only 2. But then like we had time to go around and pick everyone back up like an Uber. Like we just ran around and and picked everybody up before we kept going. Why did we not just all go to one place and then go to the next place and go to the next place and go to the next place?
Yeah.
Because so we went to all the places. It's not even like we didn't have to go anywhere.
The way they set it up, I think, is saying they're trying to do all 4 at the same time. Now, how they're communicating to each other from 4 different places to determine when that time is, because the people at the first place don't know how long it's going to take to get to each of the other places and when Zidane and Quinna are going to be ready at the last place. But, you know, video game logic, they're each going to be dropped off in pairs so that at the same time, all eight of them can defeat the Guardians, clearly with equal skill and timing, to do whatever they're doing by breaking all four of the things.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just tell you right now, it was Freya and Amaranth, I think, were a pair, right? So it was the girls, it was Steiner and Vivi doing the wind one because they got blown off, and then it was Freya and Amaranth. They're like level 19, both of them. Like, they're not, they are not defeating anything.
I mean, thank God you don't actually have to do all these fights, because I certainly thought they'd have you go.
Oh, God.
Go through them, and you'd have to do each of them in pairs that you had not chosen that were going to be a nightmare.
Well, we sort of get some of that a little bit later, but okay, great. At the end, we get this little scene with Iko and Dagger, who's like, do you love Pia? You have to tell me. You have to tell me if you love him. Okay, you have to. And Dagger's like, and then the ship comes. Oh, look, the ship's here. Let's go. Gotta go. Can't answer your question. We're just having our girl talk here. So there we go. Okay. So we've defeated, or we kept, or we collected, I guess, the Earth, the shrines, all four of the different shrines. We've got them. Excellent. And now we're ready to go to the Shimmering Islands, which have now unlocked because we have collected the shrines.
Yeah. We defeated all the, we took down all the mirrors, right? Or we placed the mirrors.
We put the mirrors in the shrines, and then
we collected them from the other place, from the castle, right?
Yeah. Ipsen,
and then we took them each to their shrines and put them in there.
Yes.
Defeated the various elemental guardians at each shrine. We do the fight against the Earth Guardian. And somehow that unlocks the Shimmering Island and or its pathway to Terra.
I mean, that's pretty clear,
pretty straightforward.
I'm not gonna lie to you, that made way more sense to me than a lot of the stuff that happens in the next 40 minutes of this podcast. Like, legitimately, we're gonna get to some logic stuff of what is what, and I will not be able to do it. So great, we're able to go we're in Gaia and we're going to Terra. Okay. Very important that we keep those clear and separate.
Those two words that both basically mean Earth.
Yeah.
Separate.
Yeah. Gaia and Terra, connected by the Shimmering Islands. We're in Gaia. Gaia's where we are. This is Gaia. Mm-hmm. That's Terra over there. Okay. That's how you can remember it in case you're looking for, you know, some kind of little, you know, mnemonic device or something. Okay. We go to the Shimmering Islands. Great. And when we get there, we just kind of get off, and then it does the classic, are you sure you want to go? Like, yeah, it might be too dangerous to come back if you don't want to go. I'm like, yeah, I don't have time for this. Like, let's go. Come on. Get over there, and we find an old dude waiting for us. Don't know who this is yet. Old dude, he's waiting for us, and he's like, hey, what's your name? And he's like, what's your name? He's like, names are stupid. Whatever name was given to you doesn't matter. Who cares about names? Doesn't matter. Random old dude who introduces himself as no-named old dude. What's up, old-named, old dude, no-name, whatever. Welcome to Bran Ball. That's where we are. We're going to be in Bran Ball here, and as we sort of get to this weird little place, Dagger gets knocked out somehow. I don't know. I really started to lose the plot here quite a bit. Dagger gets knocked out. She's in trouble. She gets, like, you know, unconscious, whatever, trying to, like, figure out what's going on. And we have to basically go around this place of Bran Ball. And we're trying to find, like, a cure, some medicine or whatever. But in, you know, walking around and talking to everyone, everyone has a tail and looks a lot like Pia. And of course, as we're, like, you know, just getting to Bran Ball, we find this, like, Pia girl, basically. And we follow her. And I love when we do this thing. If we follow her until we get just a certain distance away, and then we stop, and then we let her run away again, and then we follow her until we get to exactly that same distance, and then we stop, and then she just keeps running away. Just keep running, Pia. What are you stopping for? It gets away. We're in Bran Ball. There's a bunch of Pias. There's a bunch of Pia clones all over the place. I mean, truly all over the place. And evidently, they are basically these soulless husks of sorts. Whatever terminology you want to use here, they do not have souls. They're basically not people, but also they're kind of people. They're Pia Pol, really. iterations of Pia here. They're just, clones, whatever. Dagger's basically fine. I don't really understand why Dagger got knocked out or what happened there, but Dagger's fine. We find some medicine. She's fine. Don't even worry about Dagger, but we are kind of walking around and someone tells Aiko that they want to see Pia down in the lab. Pia's got a little hot date down in the lab and Aiko's like, well, Pia's too hot for Dagger to ever want you. So good luck. Good luck, Missy.
Oh, I see another girl that you like more than me. It couldn't possibly be because I'm six.
No, it's probably not because it's definitely not that. Pia has a date in the lab and he goes down and he finds out that everyone here in Bramble is a genome, a clone, replica, whatever, a creation, all just like Pia, that are soulless, and they are called genomes. And the only thing I can think here is if I see a bunch of clones that start with the letters G-E-N, and I just am like, what are we doing here? Are we really going back to this well? another clone? Oh my God, you might as well just call them Genesis clones. Like, at this point, it's all this...
Final Fantasy loves a clone, apparently.
They love a clone. They are obsessed with a clone. So they're all genomes. We don't exactly know why they're created yet, but Pia is sort of having a little existential crisis, very akin to Vivi and the Black Mages. A lot of overlap there. We'll see more of that a little bit later as well. But Pia's in the lab talking to, she had a name eventually, but I don't know if we find it out then. And it's like Motoko.
Makoto. Nope, that's it. Oh, it is Makoto. M-I-K-O-T-O. That's funny because there's also a Makoto in Persona 5, which I'm also currently in the middle of a playthrough of.
Makoto. Yes. It's a cool name. Okay. Great. The plan... Okay, hold on. Let me just make sure I'm able to... Yeah. Okay. No, we don't know. Well, we kind of know the plan. So we get introduced to the plan a couple different times. The first time is when they're all like staring around the big rock or whatever. And we're talking. Okay. I really get lost in the sauce here, Zed. Like, genuinely, this is so confusing. So the plan is for Terra to absorb Gaia. And Pia was basically supposed to help with that. Everyone is like soulless. And so the idea is all of the souls currently on Gaia is where all
where we started.
Gaia is the unknown continent, outer continent, Lindblom, all the Trino, all those places,
yes.
And Terra is where we are. Oh my God. Okay, the plan is for Terra to absorb Gaia, so all the people that are on Terra are going to, I don't know how the logic of this works, but they are going to enter the soulless husks and become, we're just gonna have a bunch of Pias around there. All of the people on Gaia are gonna become Pias on Terra. That's the plan. Mm-hmm. And Pia was supposed to help. Okay. Great. Vivi's out there chumming it up with the husks. And he's like, hey, what's going on here? They're like, yeah, we're mindless husks. And Vivi's having a little, existential crisis here. What else is new? And he's like, their minds aren't like hollow. They're just out to lunch, he says. I don't know, Vivi. Mine's might be a little hollow. I think the only one out to lunch is Quina at this point. So Vivi's having his existential crisis. Okay, Aiko has to go around and find everyone because we're leaving the six-year-old in charge of everything. Freya doesn't do anything in this moment, also, by the way. Like, Freya and Pia are supposed to be such good friends, and Aiko is the only one doing anything. Like, it's very confusing to me. What's Freya doing? She's not doing anything. Do something, Freya.
This is sort of a general critique of the game, is that Freya could be a really interesting character, and we kind of, when we meet her, there's like some implied backstory, and obviously she cares about saving her city, and so we go to Bermesia, and we help out the Bermesians, and she runs into Fratley again, and that all gets resolved. That's all like in disc one, and then she's just kind of like hanging around.
I would love for her to do more.
Yeah,
I really do think that she could be interesting, and I wish that I put her. Not that it's like a great correlation, because like it's not like we've done a crazy amount of stuff with Steiner recently, but well, and I'm obsessed with Steiner, so it really is not a good correlation. But I do feel like the people in my party are the ones that I like care about the most. It's sort of like why Vivi has made the cut all these times. Not necessarily because he's like stronger than anyone else. Like I'm sure that if I leveled up Freya to the same point of Vivi, like she would be just as strong and probably the same with everyone else. But it's like, I don't care about Igo. I don't need two healers. Doesn't make the cut. Like Amarant, never a chance that you're going to be in. I wish that I had put Quinna in knowing that I was going to be required to play with them. But it's like, I find that the eat to get abilities is kind of annoying. And then it's even more annoying to have to scroll through a bunch of empty placeholder abilities that I don't have to find the ones I want. It takes a million years just to use freaking White Wind to heal for 200 HP. Like, you know, I don't have time for this. I just want to press attack and go. And so like, you know, a part of this is certainly like the characters that I care about more make the cut of the party. And Freya is just like, not there. You know what I mean? Like it's just never to the point where I wanted to put her in. And you know, okay, it's fine. Like, and I still love her jump ability. I think it's really interesting. And I like that it sort of like shields her a little bit as well. It's like defensive and offensive. She can avoid some of the AOE, like, you know, if it times up well, but I don't know. Like, I just can't put her in. She's not doing anything.
Yeah. I mean, this is an issue I ran into in Final Fantasy VII the first time I played it. Was my party the optimal characters to take to the end of the game? No. Ideally, you want to have your party members that have final limit breaks that are like multi-attacks. And that is not what Vincent or Red 13 have. But those are the people I liked the most. That's who I wanted to hang out with.
Yeah.
Not Cid and Yuffie, who's in my party right now at the playthrough that I'm doing because I'm trying to do it right.
Yuffie should never be in the party. Like, if I've learned anything.
Okay, but let me tell you, I know this is off topic, but I went and did Wutai like at the end of disc two this time instead of as early as humanly possible, like Josh made me do it the first time. Wutai is a joke if you do it like in the late game. You just knock everybody out. Even the boss fight that I had to do took me, I think, literally one round of attacks.
We should have done it there then. Why did we do it earlier?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I didn't know any better. I thought, go do it as soon as you can, because that's how I was taught by an evil man who wanted to make me struggle.
Okay, speaking of evil men who want to make us struggle, Pia is about to go have an encounter here with Garland. That's the old dude's name. That's we find this out here. We're going to have a chat with Garland. And he basically explains the whole plan. Also, we're in Pandemonium because we take a little portal or, you know, something like that. Okay, whatever. We're in this.
Yeah,
we're jumping.
Because it's the end of a Final Fantasy game and you have to be in kind of an abstract, not concrete place to do it.
Yeah, we basically have to be in absolutely nowhere to get this done. Fine. We're dancing on some drums as well. I don't know why we keep jumping. That was the only interaction piece that I did during this whole explanation. And I'm pretty sure it was just like to make sure that I was still paying attention and watching the screen. Okay. He reveals, and I, you know, whatever reveal. Pia was created to disrupt Gaia. That was the whole point. I don't know why. I don't know why we needed to disrupt Gaia. But that was the whole point. And more importantly, there was another Genesis clone, genome, my bad, created just like Pia. And Pia's like, wait a minute, who could this be? No one else looks like me back on Gaia. And Garland is like, what do you mean? It's not about looking like you. It's about acting like you. It's about feeling like you. There is another soul that is akin to yours. And Pia's like, but no one looks like me. And Garland's like, it's Koja, you idiot. Of course it's Koja. And I'm like, it's Koja, you idiot. You know, duh. Who else is there? There's no other men in the game. There's no other characters that this could even be. And Pia's initial reaction is like, but Koja doesn't have a tail. And Garland's like, he's hiding it. He's
or does he?
He's masking his tail. He's hiding his tail.
I mean, he's wearing a cool little like split skirt outfit.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on with Koja. Doesn't have a tail, whatever. It's obviously Koja, Pia. What are you doing here? Yeah, it's obviously Koja. And so we get this sort of, you know, reveal here. The, you know, the plan is sort of to transfer the souls from Gaia to Terra. And the way that we do that is through the Ifa tree. Kind of. Okay. We should take an ad break and then come back here to try and explain this and work through this. Because honestly, this is going to take forever to figure this out. I don't know.
We'll take a break and we'll untangle all of our thoughts and be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, in that ad break, Adam, did you figure out everything you needed to figure out about...
No, but I do have red to blue question
marks. I mean, it's called pandemonium.
Yeah. Okay. So here... Okay. There's mist created by the Ifa tree that is evidently souls, I think. Mist is... souls-ish. Yeah. There's also a light that is sometimes blue, but they want it to be red because red is good for Terra, but bad for Gaia. And then there's the cycle of souls. It goes through the Ifa tree. And so the plan is to... disrupt all those souls on Gaia, basically create war, create destruction, whatever, and then absorb all of the souls from Gaia through the Ifa tree, which will paint the town red, I guess, and turn the light crimson somehow. And then those souls will enter into Terra, and then Terra will win, I think. That's like the idea here. That's like the...
I think,
you know,
that's basically the idea.
Yeah.
People will comment and give us deep explanations of lore that we do not understand and do not have time to go into on an hour of the podcast anyway.
If someone could explain it in a paragraph, I would read it. Like that, the part of the problem with this, and maybe this was more in the way that it was presented, is like there were four or five different conversations that sort of like put the pieces together, and I was lost at like the first one. And so... Mm-hmm.
You need like a regular like summary narration to come up and like, and so our heroes who had done this are now going to go to this place. And like, this is what's happening. And
like, I need to know how they're getting the souls from Gaia to Terra. Or is it just like when you die, like your soul goes through the Ifa tree and then like spits out in, like, they're connected. And then how do we get here from the Shimmering Islands? Like, is it connected by the tree? Because we also have this point where Garland is like, and look upon this blue thing. And we look up and he's like, that's the Ifa tree. And it's like, but aren't we, like, what is the Shimmering Islands if we are just, like, also connected by the tree? Like, what? And then we also shut off the mist from the tree, but then we didn't actually do that. All the, like, it didn't actually happen because there's still mist, and then it just kind of got blocked, or, like, it's now, like, a bunch of pent up mist that then will, like,
Well, yeah, so the Ifa tree has been absorbing the souls, and what I think never gets clearly explained is that Terra has a crystal that is supposed to get energy from the souls dying, but because the Ifa tree has been absorbing all of these souls, Terra is now, like, a dead planet that doesn't have its solar energy. Soul is an S-O-U-L.
Sure.
Solar energy that it's supposed to have. I am kind of trying to summarize several paragraphs of information from the summary of the story on the Final Fantasy Wiki for the sake of what we're talking about. It's complicated. You know, there is, like, a deep backstory to what's happening here, which is cool. It's ambitious for this game. And I think that's a little bit of the challenge, is, like, it's not Final Fantasy 16 where you can go check the, like, the active lore of the game and read stuff about the backstory of the world. You get, like, one opportunity to read it in conversation as it's happening and try to process a lot of information. 'Cause if you read three paragraphs of stuff on the wiki, they have a clear understanding. The game developers have a clear understanding in their mind of what is happening, and they can answer a lot of the questions that we're kind of asking. But I don't think the game had the capability at that time to give you all of that information in a way that was accessible. It's kind of like when, as an actor, you have a whole backstory for your character that's never going to get talked about when you're in the play, but you have to bring all of that into the way that you are performing in the show to make that character feel real. So, like, the world is very lived in, and clearly there is this long history between the relationship of these two planets, and we just can't, in the span of a 20-minute scene, fully understand everything that they're trying to tell us about what's been happening over thousands of years in their science fiction fantasy story.
Yeah, and it's also tough because I'm still trying to connect the Pia Kuja of it all. It just feels like there was one too many reveals here. Like, sure. I needed to understand the backstory of what was happening before I was told or cared about the Pia Kuja connection. Like, I think I wanted to know what the plan was, and to the credit of the game, they probably tried to tell me. I needed to know, like, what Terra was trying to do and how they were trying to do it. Like, I needed the Ifa tree souls mist conversation to happen back before, when I said the plan is for Terra to absorb Gaia and Pia is supposed to help. I don't know what that means. I have no idea how that's supposed to happen, what they're trying to do, because the part that's a little complicated here is the Kuja of it all, of how it was presented. And there's, like, this eyeball ship that is, like, up there, and we had to wait until the people of Gaia were able to summon Eidolons for some reason, and then we were able to, like, get in there, and that's how we, like, I don't know, like, there's some elements of this that's, like, missing, because they also talk about how Terra has done this before with other worlds. They have absorbed other worlds before, and I don't know what that means or what it's done or how they did it or, like, what's going on here. I don't know. And then there was another element about, like, the queen had to die because she was, like, clinging on to life, and it was too, like, I don't know. And then, like, Steiner put his foot in his mouth and be like, the queen, and then I don't know. There was, like, it's just, like, so many different little things here that's just, like, I don't really know what's happening or how it's all connected. And again, I simply have to be stupider than at least 50% of the people playing this game. Maybe that percentage is higher, genuinely. I don't know, maybe. But I just feel like there was a piece of this that was missing for me. And to the credit of the game, I ultimately didn't really care that I didn't understand. It didn't really matter to me that I didn't fully understand what was going on, because I was still enjoying it. It still looked cool. I still like care about the characters that I care about and the stories that I care about. It's just that I didn't understand them.
Yeah, you got the overall vibe of what was happening, but definitely not the finer points of the diabolical plans of Garland.
Yeah.
To subsume Gaia into Terra. I think the biggest point, or like the most succinct thing I can add, is so Garland created Kuja to go start this mission of fixing the Ifa tree so that the souls would be coming back to Terra. And then he realized by creating Kuja as an adult who I believe is 21, you know, the language that counts very much as an adult in the world of Final Fantasy. He saw like issues with starting this mission out with an adult, and so then he created Zidane as a kid so that there was more room for Zidane to grow and be a more empathetic like vessel for the mission, essentially. And so Garland's plan was for Zidane to take over Kuja's mission once Kuja inevitably failed because he was a flawed creation.
Yes, and we get more of that in just a moment here, as like Kuja basically will show up. Okay, so that was all the setup, basically, to everything, before we get to a string of boss fights. Okay, the first of which is just a rando dragon. We just get to fight a rando dragon. I don't know why. I don't know what the dragon's doing here. Garland has a dragon, and we're fighting it. No problem. It's fine. I'm so ridiculously over-leveled at this point that it's not even close. Like, there may... it was, I don't know, maybe this was supposed to be easy, because the three fights that happen here, we don't get to like heal or use whatever between. It's just sort of like the gauntlet style. We've done this before in I forget where in we've done this before. I know we've done this before. Okay, this is the gauntlet style. Great. The dragon, no problem. Second up, Garland. Kind of annoying, but still no problem. Steiner and Pia are doing like 5k damage each per just one little attack, and like, you know, using magic and healing, like, it's just not even close. It's just wild. And then Kuja shows up, and to what you were saying before, Garland goes on a little bit of like, Kuja was created and whatever, and then Kuja's like, I'm in control now, old man. Gen Z is taken over. Okay. We're done with your boomer self. We're done. Okay. We're in control now. And then we fight Kuja and we beat him, except then he turns into a thing and does an Ultima and kills us all. This is the seventh or eighth time this game that this has happened to us with a boss fight. Maybe too many times this is happening. Maybe we didn't need to do it multiple times with Beatrix before. She ended up not even being an evil character. I don't know.
Yeah, essentially joining our side. Yeah.
Maybe we didn't need to pull this card this many times, but here we are. Okay. We beat Kuja, but then Kuja beats us. That is just what happens. And then he transforms into something else. Like, he unlocked a superpower or something. He turns into a weird little...
like phoenix-y, feathery...
Yeah, thing. Lizard. I don't even know what's going on here. It's kind of red, though, so, you know, whatever. And then he just kicks Garland right in the mouth and pushes him off the side and is like, you're dead. Okay, you're done. And then he's like monologuing a little bit, but then he hears a voice, and it's apparently Garland's. I don't know. I don't know how Garland's still alive, but it's apparently Garland's like, you will fail. And Kuja's like, what are you talking about? I literally just kicked you in the teeth and shoved you off this thing. And he's like, you will die soon, because you were created to die from when Pia took over the thing. And he's like, no, okay, what are you talking about? Like, I literally just whooped everyone's ass. And he's like, you're gonna die soon. Ha 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 ha. Kuja says, okay. And then he just leaves. Kuja's gone. But even though he could have taken us out right then and there, no problem, which is true for almost all these bosses that can just one shot us, which is inherently a problem in terms of design and understanding of the game, but it's fine. Could have taken us out, chose not to, left us alive. What a mistake he's making. Almost guaranteed to be a mistake, because I don't know how we end this game without going back to kill him. But he doesn't know that, I guess. He doesn't know that we're playing the game. He has no clue. He has no clue. We have to get out of here, though. We have to get out of Pandemonium. We have to leave. But we before we do that, we have to stop to get some genomes along the way. We have to make sure we get those genomes out of here. It's not their fault. He is connected to them. They're relatives, he said multiple times now, which is a little weird, but whatever. We have to get all the genomes. And then as we're sort of leaving Pandemonium, we get to this place where there's like eyes on the walls. And then Dagger like wants to have a conversation with Pia right then and there with the eyes on the walls. And Pia's like, there's eyes on these walls. And she's like, so who cares? Like, let's chat. And I don't know. They're about to like admit feelings for each other. And we sort of like fade. I don't care about their love story. And I feel like I am always the one that's like, I love the messy drama and love. And I like love all that kind of stuff. I don't care about this. They're like 12-year-olds. Like, what are we doing here? Do we really need this?
Yeah. I think the fundamental problem with trying to get us to care about this specific love story is like, they barely know each other. They've known each other for not that long. And even in the time that you've been playing the game, they've been split apart so much that like, they're not spending time together hanging out. They're only together in like dire circumstances where they're in battles. So they like haven't had any time to like get to know each other. And as I said plenty of times on the stream, people often say that the main character of Final Fantasy X is the original F-boy, but I think Zidane is the original F-boy. He's just like, there's girls around, and therefore I am interested in the girls, because he's a teenage boy.
Yeah.
You know, this certainly does not feel like a serious relationship or anything that's going to turn into a serious relationship. So I, as an adult, do not care.
Yeah. And part of this probably could have been, I guess, avoided is the wrong word. If they wanted me to care, I needed, like, when we split up into pairs, I need Zidane to go with Dagger. Like that. Like,
yeah.
That,
you cannot separate me from her.
Like that.
And he's making the choices. So.
Yeah. It's not even like, oh my God. Okay. Whatever. So we do our string of three fights, gauntlet style. Not a problem. These fights were not difficult whatsoever. I got to choose my party. When that happens, good things happen. Okay. When I get to choose my party, good things happen. Let me do that every time. Okay. I'm trying to think if this is where this happens or not, but I forgot to write this down, but I'm remembering this happening now. I think it was after these fights, but before we leave, Pia gets into a weird, like, trance weakened situation here where he just sort of hobbles around and has some more fights that happen. This may have happened earlier in, I don't know, but it starts with like Aiko and Vivi being like gated off from Pia, and he's like sort of hobbling. And then we have like Freya and Amaranth enter the fight. And then the next one we get like Steiner coming in. And then I think like Dagger comes in for one or something like that. That was very annoying. The one that was Freya and Amaranth, which I think was the first one, took me forever. Those people have like 1500 health. I don't want them in my party. Stop putting them there. I don't want to fight with them. I want to fight them. Honestly, if Pia could, oh man, imagine Pia just whooping Amaranth at this point, because Amaranth is like half the level of Pia. So.
Oh yeah. I think this is actually what you're talking about is, at the start of like, when you first get to Pandemonium, you're fighting like three different kind of dragon-y looking.
Yeah, one of them like is a turtle, I think.
Yeah, a turtle that looks like Hell House landed on it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got like a pointy. I'm looking at the picture of it. Yeah. It like rather than a rounded shell, it's like an A-frame turtle.
Yes. So there you go. That also happens in there, but that was
I thought you had already done those fights before you did the string of the three, like, you know, quote unquote big boss fights, the Kuja Silver Dragon and then Garland and then Kuja. And it's a testament to what you're saying that those three fights to you were so easy, because Kuja has the highest HP of the three of those at over 42,000. The Silver Dragon has 34,000. These fights that you're saying you struggled with, the first one has 6,500, the second one is 12,600, and the third one is 11,000. So like,
yeah,
Well, all of them are well under half of the HP I mean, of the fights you had no problem with later. Yeah.
When I only get, it was three party members max for each of those string of like three kind of weekend fights. And like the first one, I had Freya and Amrant who were doing maybe a couple hundred if they could stay alive. They weren't like they couldn't even stay alive because they had like 1800 HP. Like they're so weak comparatively. And then I think the turtle might have been the easiest because I got to have Steiner and Dagger, I think it was. But boy, whenever I have to have party members that I don't usually have or to be honest with you, don't want in any way, like you know. It's very difficult. So, and it was like 3 versus 4, which I do think makes like a pretty significant difference because when you get that extra one, just even just having someone there that like could toss a Phoenix down on somebody, like not that that's like what I want to be doing, but like if it's a 3-person fight and Dagger gets knocked out, like that's bad. Like it's harder to recover from that versus like, even if a Dagger or a Steiner gets knocked out in a 4-person fight, it's very easy to get them back up and heal them and make that adjustment like pretty quickly. But okay, we have to get out of here and stop for some genomes along the way. There's mist basically everywhere as we sort of get into the ship. Oh, Pia has like a little moment with Makoto. And gets them to come. Who cares? There's mist everywhere as we're leaving on this ship. And they're like, oh man, this is probably some black mage shenanigans. Ifa tree stuff, basically, is what is told. And so naturally our first place to go here is the Black Mage Village. Is where we basically, that's as far as I got here, was at the Black Mage Village where we are unloading some of the genomes. They're talking with some of the other black mages. They're like, wait, this water is flowing just like time. Oh, my God. Or I, one of the black mages was trying to explain a shop and what a customer and money is. And I was like, well, I got bad news for you. Like, none of this really makes sense if you think about it. But it's just sort of what we do. You know, we spend money so that people can spend money, so that people can spend money, so that people can spend money. And we're explaining that. So, you know, good. I liked the connection here between the Black Mage stuff that we've been setting up the whole game and the genome stuff that we've been setting up for the last 5 minutes. I did, you know, enjoy that parallel a little bit. But I think the favorite part of this certainly has to be the very end where we have our baby chocobo. Bobby Corwin is our baby chocobo, and they're interacting with some of the genomes, and we just keep saying the name Bobby Corwin all the time. That's the chocobo name. Honestly, great chocobo name. Like, truly a top-tier great chocobo name. Bobby Corwin? Come on. That chocobo is going to be zipping down the racetrack. Like, absolutely cruising Bobby Corwin. And I would love it as Bobby Corwin. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's. I mean, that chocobo is winning everything. No one even stands a chance. It's not even fair.
Listen, you want your chocobos to be fast if you're racing them.
You truly do. And in terms of where we're going next year, I guess we have to beat Kuja. There was talk of going back to Trino, but we don't want to tell Uncle Sid what's going on. There's no one else we would even really tell. I don't really know where Kuja is, so we'll have to find him. But I have to imagine that this next stage is just going to be how many boss fights can we put in succession before we get to one final, probably scripted fight with Kuja, and then we end the game. Like that, in my mind, that's basically all that's left. We probably have to go back to the Ifa tree is my guess because of the mist and the souls and the blue to red situation. They're trying to absorb whatever.
Blue to red
situation. I don't know what the light is, but that's my guess in terms of where we are headed next. And I don't know. I feel like there's only one more podcast, one more play, but I guess I don't know. Like there could, I guess theoretically be a lot of boss fights here to get through. But as I've said many times, there's not a lot to talk about when there's just a bunch of fights because it's just, oh, I did this fight. I did that fight. That was annoying when they had to do that. Like, that's really it in terms of the boss fights. I don't know how much story there will be before the wrap up and conclusion and, during the boss fights. My guess is that there's just going to be one more kind of section of story here as we, are close to the end.
Yeah, you are in disc 4 now. You've officially hit the final disc of the game. And we play this game very differently. So this take this information with several grains of salt. My finale stream, which started at about the point that you're at in the game, is, I would say, 5 hours of gameplay long, because I skipped through the chat with my viewers at the beginning, and a substantial amount of credits at the end. But for me, at this point that you are at now, I had about 5 hours of gameplay left. For you, probably a little less, because I'm sure I went and did some stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm not doing anything
that you don't care about. No, I know you're not.
Yeah, unless I do it on accident. There's a world where, because I actually don't know where to go, that I like accidentally do some other stuff.
Oh yeah, like I'm looking at my VOD right now, and I'm doing some chocobo stuff that I know you're not going
to
do.
No.
That will certainly save you.
I might go give that lady some coins. I think I have a bunch of coins.
Do that, because it'll take no time, and it is worth it. It's easy. Yeah. It's fast, and it all it does is give you stuff.
Yeah, go back to Trino, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Trino. Give the lady some Stellatios.
Stellatios.
Give her the coins. Yeah. So.
Oh man. Okay. Well, if that is our game coverage for this week, should we do an Issa look?
I mean, we should. I think so.
I think it's Kuja time.
Oh, is it Kuja time? Okay.
We still, after all these weeks, this is episode 14. And I guess there was one week where we missed an Issa look because we had to wrap up quickly. But so in 12 Issa looks, we have not done Kuja yet. And okay. It feels like this is the moment.
It's time.
So let me put this link in the chat for you.
Okay. This is exciting. Now, should we just assume the tale, or?
Well, I mean, we got to go off of what we've basically seen in the game the whole time, and you really don't see the tale.
Boy, this is not the image that I was expecting to see.
The drawn one? At the
yeah.
Top?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow.
It is truly, like, the bar is high, and I still think it is possibly the queerest coded villain in a Final Fantasy game.
Wow. So I don't even know where to start here. Just going top to bottom, the hair is wild and wonky. Either that's a feather or a piece of hair that's just all over and, like, up and back, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it's
a feather. Well, I don't know, but then in some of the other drawings it doesn't look like it just looks like it's anime and the hair just sticks up like that.
The hair does what it does, and it's also flowing in the back, so it's like very long as well, even though it doesn't look very long at the top besides the one, I guess, big long piece. But the cape flowing out is awesome on either side. It's almost not even a cape, it's like a I don't even know what to call it. It's almost like a skirt for your shoulders is really like what's happening.
A shawl?
I guess it's a shawl. It doesn't cover anything, but I guess. Yeah. You know, I guess.
There's sort of a shawl. And then also, as we've mentioned before, the split skirt on the bottom. There's a lot of flowiness to this outfit.
But, I mean, a ton. And then I don't know how we've avoided this for even 1 minute. The crotch area. Zed, what is happening here? What is this?
The codpiece / chastity belt that's happening.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those things.
I don't know. And like,
I mean, this game does take place in like a Renaissance-y time, and a lot of people are wearing sort of Renaissance-y clothes. And at that time, a codpiece was a very common thing to wear. This just looks more like belts going around the side and then under the crotch. For what purpose, I'm not totally sure. And the front looks a little bit like an owl, which I hadn't seen until just now.
Oh.
Do you see it?
I see the owl. I had thought that was some kind of like locking mechanism.
Oh, I'm sure it is, but I just saw an owl, and so I wanted to say it.
Yeah. I'm loving the boot that are pants situation. Really accentuates, this man has not skipped leg day in his life. I mean, truly, I have never seen such chiseled legs. Like, you could cut stone with these things. Like,
yeah, well, I think they are thigh-high boots, but there are some interesting shapes going on.
I think those are straight muscles. They have to be. I mean, this guy is just hitting the gym on the daily. The shoes are cool, but not as exciting as the rest of this stuff.
A little like buckled shoe with wings on them.
Yeah, they do have the wings, but you know, I don't think he can fly. So I don't know. He has dragons.
Well, I mean, as all Final Fantasy villains can do, he can eventually suddenly float.
Yes. Oh yeah, everyone can float
when he transforms into something else, as they are all want to do.
I think it's Steiner
can float. Skipped over the fact that on top of the shawl flowy top thing, there is also what seems like a secondary piece that is like shoulder protection and collar, because that's another thing you're going to get in this game is everybody's going to have a weird collar that doesn't make sense with the rest of their outfit.
Everyone's got a weird collar. I like how high it goes too. He has a very long neck. His torso is lengthy. Like the head, from where the head is to where the waist is, it doesn't feel like there should be as much neck there as there is. But there is. There's a lot of neck, and part of it's covered up by this like very, very high collar that's sort of sticking out. And then we have a butterfly, I think. Might not actually be a butterfly. It might be like a bird of some kind. I don't know. But
hanging out to the side. In that
there's
drawing.
Just a little butterfly hanging out to the side on that drawing. So
yeah, this is definitely some concept art that we're looking at. And I wonder if whatever is drawn over here on the side is like a real bird or insect that was kind of the inspiration for the look of Kuja, because the hair is very either literally feathery or feathery looking.
Yeah.
And then the top of the outfit does feel a little bit like wings. If you scroll down or scroll over in the pictures, depending on how you're looking at it, and look at the video game rendering, you do see how clearly like Kuja has hips. Kuja has a waist and hips. And this outfit, in this picture, it does look more like it's flowy sleeves, but like no shirt.
I don't think he's wearing a shirt. He's
like
not wearing
bolero, like shrug over it. That is the collar piece.
Yeah, this is like what I'm saying. Like a almost a skirt for the shoulders. Like it's really, it's not a shirt. It's just like, and then boy, every other picture is just crotch focused is like where, you know, there's a
and
lot
then
going
we
on
get
here.
Trans Kuja, which you talked about, is what he turns into in the boss fight when he gets all red, covered in red, with like red feathers sticking out of the top of his head. A very cool look, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's supposed to be inspired by something specific also, but that's like the one time you actually see the tail that is otherwise hidden by the skirt of the outfit.
Wow, there's a lot going on here. Oh my gosh. Okay, that's Kuja. I like Kuja. Hopefully he doesn't win, but I like him.
Yeah, as a design, I'm a huge, huge fan. Yeah, big, big trans vibes from Kuja, as I have talked about from day one. I love it. You know, what villains could, you know, it would be okay if queer and trans people were in video games as not villains. But the energy that Kuja brings to every scene that he's in is so good. One of my favorite villains for sure.
Maybe Way Kuja's not a villain. Maybe he's just misunderstood.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, he's just doing what he was created to do. That's not really his fault.
Yeah.
The creation was flawed from the beginning. Garland says so himself. It's Garland's fault, not Kuja's fault.
Yeah. That's nature versus nurture. That's it.
It's yeah. And his nature was created and he was nurtured in that way. So what's he supposed to do?
He's really innocent, basically. Justice for Kuja.
Yeah, I think that's where we've landed.
Yeah, I like this. I like this. We've really uncovered something here today.
Yeah, no notes. All good. When in trance, Kuja becomes covered in red fur.
Oh.
And his clothes, which turn white, become tattered, and he has a long furred tail.
Okay.
Oh, it does say a white robe covers the back of his legs down to his ankles, held up by four straps that act as a codpiece. Okay. Armored dark purple boots with golden buckles. Like the whole color palette, I also really like. It feels pretty unusual for a villain to get to wear this much white and for it to be like so soft and like the hair is light. And then there's like purpley bluey color story happening. I'm a big fan.
Well, it'll be interesting to see who we can do for the end game here. Cause we didn't do Garland, I guess, but he's gone. So
yeah,
who knows?
We shall see if anything emerges next week. And if not, that's okay too. You know, it'll be what it'll be. But that's going to do it for us here this week. Adam, anything else you want folks to know about?
Just go check me out. I'll post stuff on Twitter, PNM and Adam One. And then weekly over at One Undescribable Podcast, we're doing Girls 5 Eva season 2. We're doing Previous Little Liars. We are almost at the end of season 1 with that, which is very fun. Melissa and I finished up our coverage of Percy Jackson here on Post Show Recaps. And then just stay tuned for upcoming stuff. We got some stuff in the works. We're excited to share.
Great. Well, that's going to do it for us here. As I mentioned a couple times in the podcast, if you want to see any of these VODs or my Rebirth demo playthrough or the Rebirth playthrough itself when it comes into being, you can find me at twitch.tv/hardrockhope, or all of those videos go to youtube.com/@hardrockhope after the fact. And that's about it, everybody. Thank you for your patience as we were off for a couple of weeks. I think our goal is to put out the final episode next week, but if not, we will. Nope. Adam says no, not next week. Okay. So in 2 weeks. Oh, because Adam's traveling for the holiday. Yes. Got it.
2 weeks.
Okay.
I'm committing to this. The game will be over. Well, whatever our next podcast will be. I don't know how much is left. You know, 5 hours.
I guess we'll be back when Adam finishes the game, which we hope is 2 weeks from now. That is our plan.
Okay.
But we are able to tell you in advance right now, no podcast next week. So hope this tides you over until then. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.